Hello, friends. You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio, broadcasting live from UBC's Point Grey campus, situated on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam people. Can't talk today, it turns out. At CITR, we endeavor to create and uplift local and alternative arts and culture, and we are forever grateful to do so on this land. This is Amateur Hour. Thank you for joining us. On Amateur Hour, we sit down with local amateur and student musicians to talk about the music they make and the music they love. My name is Ewan, and in the studio with me today is Dalton Kennedy of the band Nine Narrows. Say hello, Dalton.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me today, Ewan.
Absolutely. Dalton, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your musical project, Nine Narrows, and yeah.
Well, great question, Ewan. I'm frontman of the local band Nine Narrows. We've been together for about 4 years now, playing the downtown club scene. We just had the Roxy on Saturday night, which was a pretty wild, pretty amazing show. Good turnout. And
I was absent.
I know, and we were heartbroken. We wrote a song just for you that night.
Oh, yeah?
But our next one's coming up on July 18th at the Portside Pub. So, yeah, we've kicked into motion with the summer now. And we'll be releasing new music soon. You can always find us on Spotify and Apple Music right now. Nine Narrows, we've been around for a little while, and now we're all situated here in Vancouver indefinitely, and we'll be playing for you lots now.
Banger. All right. Well, Dalton, you've brought in a couple songs with you today for us to listen to. The first one I've got here is Honey. You want to tell us anything about this song before we listen to it?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is an unreleased song, so you folks would be the first to hear it.
Lucky you.
Yeah, we recorded this at Hipposonic last summer and had a great time doing that. We've been sitting on this one for a couple years now, kind of just poured out of us when Alex and I, the lead guitarist, sat down to write it. Him and I typically, we sit down, write all this stuff together, and yeah, when we work together, it comes out pretty quick. On our own, at least personally, it's a little slower, but this was kind of a magic one, and we've been really excited about it. And now it's in the can, so it's going to be released soon. Keep your ears peeled.
Alrighty, friends. We've got Honey by Nine Narrows coming up right now. Enjoy.
We never spoke much of intuition. I would always know. Every time you'd shiver, another bone to crack. I don't know much of living, but everything you brought. If it's time to take my leave now, what else have I got? And if there's something more, show me the hidden door. I never had much to give and you would never know. And if I let you down, honey, I let you down. You got your way. Serpents in your blood say I am much too beautiful, so I must be from hell. Oh, it's so sweet that I can't speak, like honey on my teeth. Every time you leave here, I never want you to go. And if there's something more, show me the hidden door. I never had much to give and you would never know. And if I let you down, honey, I let you down. Hear me speak. given. You would never know if I let you down, honey. I let you down, and if I let you down, honey, I let you. And if I let you.
And we are back. You were just listening to Honey by Nine Narrows. This is Amateur Hour. Welcome. We have a special episode this week on 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. The first episode of Amateur Hour we did was with the wonderful Alex Karanzai of the bands Animal Hospital and Nine Narrows. This week we have the frontman of Nine Narrows, Dalton Kennedy, in here in the studio with us today. Dalton, say hello once again.
Woo woo! Hello everyone, it's a pleasure to be here today. Thanks for having me, Ewan.
No worries, we're going to jump right into the interview segment of this show.
Hit me.
You know, I mean, like with most artists, I just kind of want to know, like, where did you start? Like, when did music become a thing that you were, like, making and not just, like, I enjoy listening to this?
Yeah, that's a good point. Shower singing, maybe.
Yeah.
I never sat down to make a conscious effort out of it. Music was never in the wheelhouse. I'm not very instrumentally talented. But just super passionate and inspired by the music I was listening to, finding my own way into my own records. I think The Strokes was the entry point into my own personal musical journey, other than what I was kind of hearing in the house at the time, which was a lot of classic rock.
Mm-hmm.
Strokes quickly turned into Arctic Monkeys, and then the daydreaming of singing my own songs on stage mm-hmm. began, and writing on my own, not getting too far with that, definitely started from a very bad place, vocally and lyrically. But you consume your favorite artist for long enough, and it just starts to click. And Alex and I were high school buddies, and we kind of rekindled the friendship in grade 12 when he was writing a lot of instrumental stuff and was a little stuck lyrically, and I was extremely challenged instrumentally. And so, like puzzle pieces, we kind of just mm-hmm. clicked there, and songs just started pouring out of us pretty early on. And at that point, I was in my daydreams and everything, thinking, "Oh, let's hit the stage as soon as possible." And he's a bit like, "Okay, we just started here."
Yeah.
I was a little ambitious, a little overzealous, might I say, but. Yeah, after time, I guess my voice just started getting a bit stronger. I was getting more confident in my ability, and Alex and I really got into a groove where we just trusted. We never consciously have sat down to write a song. We will just jam until it's... it's worked out really nicely. And then we got our first... Then I finally hit the button and got a gig. And this was 2022, I think. And it's still just Alex and I writing, and it was the Railway Club, and it was like an indie night, and we got an opening spot, and we didn't have a band. So we had like a couple weeks to get a band together.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alex kind of spearheaded that, and we nailed the band together, did a couple rehearsals, and I think we were all just so full of adrenaline that we just went wild. And the opening show of an indie night.
Yeah.
It was all a lot softer after that. So
this is hilarious. I got an email from the station the other day requesting that shows that didn't have a show promo make a show promo. And I made mine that morning. The show promo, as I hope some of you will have heard at some point, has a lot of clips from previous episodes playing, and the clip from Alex's episode is him telling this exact story you play the Vancouver Indies night, and you come on with just like these screaming guitars, and then immediately like after, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It kind of set the tone for our live shows. It's been pretty wild ever since.
No, it's great. And you bring such energy to those live shows, especially as like, you know, taking up the mantle of the front man, you have this like intense kind of performance charisma going on. Like you're very much a lot of showmanship is I think the word I'm looking for there.
Yeah.
When you play. And that's something I always noticed from the first show I saw a couple years ago at the Portside. Yeah, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I believe you've just finished doing schooling out east for performing arts.
Yeah, exactly. I was in acting school for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I think when I started my career there, musically, I really got into Jim Morrison. And I've always really been in the Stones. So I think a lot of influences coming into how I am on stage and then the acting training background as well, you know, it's definitely a performance. And then when I take off the hat and come off the stage and pry off the leather pants, I'm a very different person. And I think that's a healthy thing. What I want to see in the scene is that kind of old classic rock band like The Doors, where you have Jim Morrison, who's lyrically focused and he's writing the words and then he's going up there and being the frontman. And I feel like we're missing the frontman aspect of the music scene right now. And I thought I could bring that to the table. And I was just so passionate about doing that. And it seemed to be working thus far. But yeah, it's definitely fun to put on that mask on stage. It can be cathartic, but it's also like you're not taking that guy home. You know, it's like living with Mick Jagger might be a little tricky. I think he's settled down these days, but
no, for sure. And I mean, the last show we had, me and Julien Lavoie talked a lot about the Vancouver music scene and it being this kind of weird scene because there's a lot of really talented people out there, but not a lot of infrastructure to support them. And yeah, you mentioned that like the kind of front man is something that you don't see a lot in like our music scene these days. Like it's a lot of these kind of bands that are, you know, putting out great music, but that kind of element of show is not always there. And I think you really bring that with this, you know, very overconfident kind of character you play, very excited, very like very outgoing. And then afterwards you're Dalton again, and I'm like, hey, you want to go dance? You're like, I don't know.
No, exactly. I'm in like a hoodie and just like sipping my beer,
In hiding in the corner. Yeah, puts the sunglasses down, tries to hope no one notices him.
Exactly. Yeah, total different persona.
I think it's really interesting to see where those things kind of cross. So would you say that you got more into music because of an interest in acting, or did the interest in acting come from performing live with music?
That's a really good question. I think it's always been pretty intertwined. Acting was, I would say, first, because as a kid, I was very eccentric, and that's easy. You can get you get into drama club. I almost went to, Lord Byng Performing Arts, and then I did a lot of plays in the high school I did go to. So it was always very acting focused. And then like midway through high school, I think the music really started to hit with me. And this is maybe a bit of an embarrassing fact based on how you view this movie. But at the time, I really enjoyed, A Star is Born with Bradley Cooper. Yeah. And so maybe that was a bit of acting slash music intersection, because that movie inspired me. Because he directed and wrote that and then acted in it. I was like, what an interesting character to develop and so accurate. And then he wrote all the music for that. So that – I was also in a musical at the time. Wow, like, these are good questions. I'm actually like seeing the
it's all coming together, all these dots connecting on the board.
Yeah.
I mean like I feel like art's like that in a lot of ways, right? I think we create a lot of these kind of – differentiations between like, okay, this is film, this is music, this is literature, this is that. And a lot of these things kind of, you know, they do have their generic conventions, but they also overlap in a lot of interesting ways, and kind of breaking from those boundaries and like doing more than one kind of makes you better at the rest. You get a certain sense of what might be missing from what is typical of this genre. Like we said, like if you have people who are really strong musicians, especially on their instruments, but they're not much for the showmanship and the acting side of live performance, you know, they're fun to dance to, but you're not looking at them. You know, you're not paying attention to those guys. So having both backgrounds, you know, will allow you to kind of get a better performance out of that. It's a little bit more holistic and plays to more interests of the audience than just the music. And I think the inverse is probably true. You know, playing music, I'm sure, in a lot of ways, and having that kind of, you know, artistic expression and jamming and that kind of improvisational facet probably plays into your acting as well.
Yeah, especially I brought up shower singing, I think, a while ago because, I mean, I just did a lot of singing in my home and, you know, not so great. But then again, your voice strengthens over time when
That's how you do it.
It was just hard not to. I was just like, and I just wanted to sing. And I guess music made me feel so much, and I was thinking, what is the missing piece here? And I think that I found that with some moments I get on stage where I also mentioned it can be a little cathartic. And it's just like, where does that energy go? Like, it goes into, like, you're inspired by music. You have that energy. Where does it go? Well, it goes into making your own songs. That's what I found. Like, okay, now we're here. And then it goes into, like, oh, you finished the song, you recorded the song, you're listening it back. Oh, wow, like, there's the next level. But then what's after that? And it's, like, just belting it out in front of people. And so that's maybe the lifeline of the musical inspiration, at least for me personally. And so I get really, really fortunate to be able to sing those words with the guys on stage when we do have a gig. And, you know, it's not every night, so I'm really, really grateful for those time slots these days. And and the nerves kind of gone away because we've been doing it for a while now and we're just, like, aching for the next show all the time. That it's not like, oh, we want to do this right or we want to be pitch perfect or no mistakes kind of thing. It's we're very strict. Alex keeps us in check a lot. He's very much, like, the heart of the band.
The taskmaster.
But then we get to, like in acting, when you rehearse, you rehearse, you beat a script to death, and you know all your cues. And then the show, you just let it go. Let it all go. And you just have fun. You just play.
Yeah, a lot of muscle memory, right?
Yeah,
So kind of working backwards a little bit here, Nine Narrows until, I suppose, recently, now that you've relocated back to Vancouver. Because you were out east, you guys would really only play together in the summer and do shows in the summer. So during that long, tiring, grueling, dark winter period in Ontario, how did you kind of fulfill that, like, musical void? Like, you know, when you love music as much as you do and perform it in the way that you do, when that's gone, how do you cope with that?
It wasn't easy. That's a really good question. It was a long time. I really just had to flick on the acting switch for that because I was in productions and heavy classes and stuff. So I would write a bit on my own. Sometimes Alex and I have written, I guess, long distance, where he'll send me a riff or, like, a structure and some parts, and then I'll get some melodies over it and crack away at the lyrics.
It's like a beautiful Jane Austen romance.
Exactly. Yeah. It's definitely a love story. No, it was definitely slower. And then, you know, I'd come back for the breaks and, you know, jam a bit with the guys, and it's like, boom, instantly. Like, we'll do three songs in a night. It's like, how the hell did we do that? Like, so, I don't know. It was tricky. I guess what happened to me personally was I really went into some rabbit holes with some artists. I think it started with Tom Waits. I don't even know how, but just, like, huge super fan of Tom Waits, and that really inspired my songwriting. We've got End of the Rail and Ain't My Time to Die, which are two ones we've been doing live that are not recorded yet. But I got into some storytelling lyrics and just painting some really interesting kind of the seediness of the world imagery. And I definitely got that from Tom Waits. And then I went into a rabbit hole that I'm still in with Nine Inch Nails. And
slightly different music.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. I guess I had so much time on my hands that these artists kind of became my life, and that music was always just playing in my dorm room.
Yeah.
And just influencing my every move. I was just, like, in that atmosphere.
No, I mean, it's funny how much, I think especially music can do that, but in general art can kind of, like, I think we talked about this yeah, God, like way back at the beginning of the show that, you know, having like an artist kind of score a certain part of your life, you know, like you're mm-hmm. walking around listening to an album for a couple weeks and like, you know, you stop listening to that album, come back a few months later. And now like every time you hear that song, you're like, oh yeah, I was, you know, I was doing that at this time. And oh yeah, like this person, you know, we became friends during this song and then we're no longer friends during this next one and stuff like that. I think it's interesting to talk about, hear you talk about how that intersects with, you know, making art and making music, how like mm-hmm. the things you're listening to and watching and reading and attending kind of go into what you're making at that time as well. And like, I'm sure if you dig into the stuff you're writing at the time you were really big into Nine Inch Nails, it might sound slightly different from the stuff that you were writing and getting into when you were big into Tom Waits.
Exactly, yeah. And even with literature, like I went in a bit of a rabbit hole with, I think I started with Hunter S. Thompson, which got into Bukowski. And then that was kind of overlapped with Tom Waits. And just like that, those perspectives, these really dark perspectives, I found mm-hmm. really interesting and inspiring lyrically. And so, yeah, you probably hear that on some of the stuff we release soonish.
Exciting. Yeah, well, this is something that I was kind of interested in, and I feel like I'm spending too much of this show comparing you to our first guest, since you guys do work so closely together, but,
we're brothers, man. Yeah. It's all good.
One of the things we talked a lot about with Alex was, you know, juggling these two projects, you know, the difference between Animal Hospital and Nine Narrows for him, as, like, one of them's kind of his baby, where, like, he's covering all the parts, and, like, so he's kind of spread thin, but also he gets full control, whereas with Nine Narrows, you know, he's really digging into one thing and doing one thing really good. You don't have that. The Nine Narrows is, to my understanding, your one sole kind of musical project. And I want to kind of question, like, what's that like instead? What is it like having this one kind of primary project that, like, most of your work is going towards this one thing?
Mm-hmm. I mean, anything that's going on with me, you're not going to miss in mm-hmm. Nine Narrows. It's all going to be there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. That's definitely my one and only and most powerful outlet. So you get all the rawness, all the stuff that's on my mind. I haven't found it limiting at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely kept me busy. I feel like I can reach out to the guys at any point, even when we were in Toronto, although obviously that's a bit more difficult.
Put in a letter.
Yeah. No, but I do write some stuff on my own that hasn't seen the light of day and may never will. But sometimes it's... Yeah, music's definitely always an outlet for me, and I can get bursts of inspiration and just write a bit at home. Yeah, melodies turn into lyrics, and if it's not, I guess I'm really into the artist, as I said, that I listen to, and that kind of takes over my life.
Yeah.
And I take that inspiration and put it into the band, and so that's kind of a nice, I can be a passionate music consumer, as well as a very passionate music creator. And I think that the moment I stop listening to music or I fall out of that, then the band could suffer, perchance. So you gotta, it's like with acting, if you want to be a good actor, you just have to consume a lot of performances, whether that be live theater or television, film. You just got to be involved in your medium and, mm-hmm. you know, you'll probably be pretty darn good at it if it's hard not to be involved in that. Like, I've just fallen into this. Like, again, with music, I never actively sat down to be like, this makes sense for me. It was always like, I can't play instruments. I haven't written any songs. But just the love for music will prevail.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds pretty,
pretty hippie, man. That was so cheesy. That was, yeah, it's kind of disgusting. no, I got caught out for saying the cheesiest thing ever last week, but I'm not going to repeat it because then I'll lose listeners. But I think that's great, right? Like, I think, you know, like, taste becomes talent, that kind of thing of, like, you know, when you, you know, take in more art of of a variety of mediums, there we go, you start to learn what they're doing right, even subconsciously, and mm-hmm. it impacts what you think is, you know, at the bottom of everything, what you think is cool, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what you're going to start making, and if you keep, you know, taking in good art and appreciating it, you're going to be a better artist, and that's mm-hmm. important. You know, you can't create anything in a vacuum. You know, there's, like, centuries of work preceding yours that you are necessarily building upon. And yeah, it would be foolish to be ignorant to it. So I think it's wonderful to look at your inspirations and really play towards them. And I think there's a lot of that going on with Nine Narrows, and it's great. We're heading into our ad break here in a minute, but I just wanted to ask before we close off this first interview section, where do you see Nine Narrows headed? What's the goal there? What's the future looking like?
Oh, I mean, just more shows and getting out of the city as much as we can, branching out there. We have a lot of material that we haven't recorded, and mm-hmm. so we're really anxious about recording our first full-length album. Mm-hmm. Alex and I have been talking about that nonstop. We're just kind of finalizing the details, but we're about to embark on the first album recording, which is a big milestone, I suppose. A mixture of a lot of new stuff that we've been working on, and some of the older ones that haven't yet seen the light of day. I think we've played them live, but yeah, so album in tandem with more shows, and just kind of get that machine going where releasing music, building a fan base, branching out. I think that hearing us on record and then hearing us live is a very different experience mm-hmm. that I really like. I really like that dynamic where we're heavier, a bit more unleashed live, and mm-hmm. I think we'll always have that. So you get two very different but fulfilling experiences if you are a fan of Nine Narrows. You get the on record, but then you get to see us unleashed. Almost like I'd compare it to the Tragically Hip, where great on record, you know, and then what the hell's Gord going to do on the stage, you know? And it's a bit heavier live.
Yeah.
As live music should be.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's very fun to dance to when there's a lot going on, a lot of headbanging. Thank you, Dalton. We've got one more song of yours coming up. This is Until We Crash. Do you have anything you want to say before I throw this on?
Well, after all this headbanging talk and stuff, this is actually quite a soft one.
Oh, fun.
But I think it leads nicely into the Joel Plaskett that we'll listen to after this.
After the break, yeah.
Yeah, we wrote this in the back of a van on UBC campus a couple summers ago, and similarly, it just poured out of us and just reflects where I was at the time.
Awesome. All right, friends. This is Until We Crash by Nine Narrows. We're going to go into a little ad break, and we'll be right back with some more music and more interviews for you here on 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio.
Lay upon me tonight. Oh, this make me feel alright. Even when the morning's bright and blinding, something's clearly wrong, but something's always right. Never know you were until you try. Something's clearly wrong, something's off right. You never know you were. And if you breathe, make it deep. You've got no time, so let's live free. And every frame could be the last. So I will drive until we crash. See your eyes, their image starts to fade tonight. As I am sent reeling unkindly by the bottles I have behind me. Something's clearly wrong, something's always right. You never know the world until you try. Something's clearly wrong, but something's always right. right, never know your world. If you breathe, make it deep. We've got no time, so let's live free. And every frame could be the last. So I will drive until we cry. Till we cry, I will try until we cry. Oh, oh.
Every adventure begins with a spark of possibility, and Scouts Canada volunteers are the ones who bring it to life. Whether it's guiding a hike, teaching new skills, or planning the next big adventure, they create opportunities for youth to grow, connect, and thrive. Volunteering is about more than activities. It's about courage, connection, and unforgettable memories. Whatever your passion, there's a role for you at Scouts Canada. Adventure awaits. Take our online quiz and find your perfect role at scouts.ca/volunteer.
Just a few words before I go to sleep. I feel like I'm gonna dream tonight. Big bad ones, you know? The kind you like.
There is a lot of music out there, but only some is strange enough for you. My name is B, and on SlimeWire, I do the work for you, picking out freaky tunes to rule your nighttime world. So check it out. Every Wednesday at 10 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Trouble breathing, this is not my life. Someone hung a decorative surfboard up where your records and movies belong. This light makes it nearly impossible to see if they fixed all the cracks in the wall. Stare at the window at your old apartment.
Young Agrarians is the largest educational resource network for new and young ecological farmers in Canada, with a long-term goal to stop farm loss and ensure future generations can farm. YA offers farmer-to-farmer programming to grow the next generation of food growers by creating access to community, education, on-farm training, land, business mentorship, and other resources. Join our network by checking out youngagrarians.org. That's YOUNGAGRARIANS.ORG. Together, let's grow the next generation of viable and ecological farmers on Turtle Island.
Attention, attention, attention. All artists, zine makers, writers, musicians, community organizers, activists, anarchists, trolls, punks, and weirdos. Now is the time to make your voice heard at the 3rd annual Anarchist Book Fair. We want you in all of your resistance to colonialism. We want to platform your rage against the current political climate and join hands with you in saying enough. We're looking for folks who engage in community building, mutual aid, active resistance, skill building, and knowledge sharing to table booths and propose workshops on October 9th and 10th of 2025. This is an anarchist space, which means it opposes hierarchies and seeks to amplify unheard voices and build communities of mutual aid and support. First come, first serve. 50% of tables reserved for marginalized voices. You can email sponsorship@citr.ca to state your interest and be part of Anarchist Book Fair. sponsorship@citr.ca.
Hello, friends. You were just listening to Racing Gloves by Plumtree. Fantastic song off a fantastic album by a fantastic artist from Halifax. from this beautiful country of ours. You are listening to 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. This is Amateur Hour. On Amateur Hour, we sit down with local amateur and student musicians to talk about the music they make and the music they love. In the first half of the show, we talked here with Dalton Kennedy. Hello, Dalton.
Hello.
About the music he makes. We're now going to talk about the music he loves. Every week that we do this, I have the artists bring on an artist that they like, but they feel not many people listen to. And Dalton has brought with him today one Joel Plaskett. Tell us a little bit about Mr. Plaskett and your appreciation of him.
I love Joel Plaskett. This is Joel Plaskett. He's from Nova Scotia. And
just like the artist you just listened to.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. Boom.
This is all
we didn't even
out.
Plan that.
No, very nicely.
I just really like Plumtree.
Plumtree's great. And Joel Plaskett is great. If you haven't heard of Joel Plaskett, Alex actually got me on to Joel right when I graduated university, I guess 2 months ago, and I was starting the next chapter, come back to Vancouver, and, you know, feeling a little weary at that time, and then he played me Through and Through and Through, which is arguably Joel's hit, his biggest song, off a triple album called Three, where you might notice a pattern of threes.
Interesting.
A lot of the songs.
I wonder if one of the songs from this album might be on that. Or one of the songs that we're playing today might be from that album.
It certainly is. You might guess because
it might even be the next song.
Gone, Gone, Gone.
That would be it, yeah.
But yeah, it's a great album and it has a really interesting narrative. And yeah, so Alex played me Through and Through and Through, told me a bit about Mr. Plaskett. And then I listened to the album and kind of felt this weird serendipity with how my life was going at that time.
Yeah.
And some of the themes he was talking about of kind of paving his own way on his own for the first time in a new environment with not necessarily the same people or relationships. And it just struck a chord.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is very interesting stuff. And the one that, and yeah, so thank you, Alex. I don't know if you meant for this all to happen.
All kind of line up perfectly,
like this,
you know,
but
driving your own lane, jumping your own bog, you know, all that kind of.
Like, oh, yeah, you know, going for a dip in the bog every once in a while.
Yeah, like, always
that's,
good.
That's always the best. but, you know, yeah, great, great
I should mention on that, I feel like this is maybe the third or fourth time this happened on the show where, like, whether the guest tells me or not, they want to sneak in an inside joke just on air real quick. I love it when they tell me.
Well, yeah, no, of course. I'm on this committee on the preserving the Camosun bog. We have to dive in every once in a while, just make sure it's all
last
ship
week,
shape. There's no bodies in there.
Or 2 weeks ago, when we did the show last, Julien Lavoie did not tell me he had an inside joke he was about to drop, and he just like goes on this like weird little like a ramble, and it's a joke from, I can't remember what comedian, but like it was so unrelated to anything else we were talking about, and I was just like, yeah, totally. We got back to another great conversation. It was such a fun episode. But then on the break, I was like, what the hell was that?
I love a good inside joke that just doesn't land because you're the only one that knows what's
There's an impulse in the radio show guest to derail the show.
Yeah. No, it's funny. You get comfortable and then you start derailing and all the fluidity you once had. I'm starting to feel that a bit now.
Yeah.
I want to throw in some inside
jokes.
Anyways,
we won't Yeah, we won't linger on that too long. We're going to listen to two songs by Joel Plaskett and be right back to talk about them. First up is Gone, 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 followed by One Look. Please enjoy.
Gone, gone, gone. That's what it looks like from here. Gone, gone, gone. You've been packing your bags for a year, watching your taillights fade. That's all I ever do, watching you complicate a love so true. Pretty soon I'll be gone too.
Gone, gone, gone. What's the big idea? Where'd we go from here, my love? Always gone, always right, never wrong. Await the light, chase the dawn, through the night, but the night's so long.
Gone,
gone, gone. That's your middle name. Every night's the same, my love. I count them down. 3, 2, 1, you're back around. You
April, May, and June, my love, you come and go. Seasons change and flowers grow. By and by, the highway glow. You roll fast, but the night rolls slow. Slow, slow, time is rolling on. Sing to winter's long, my love. Thought about going.
And we are back from the break. You were just listening to One Look by Joel Plaskett. This is Amateur Hour on 101.9 FM CITR Community Radio. Thank you for joining us. Dalton is our guest on the show today. Tell us about what we just listened to. Mr. Joel Plaskett, how did you discover this artist? You were mentioning before we listened to him, but say it again for those tuning in now.
Yeah, my buddy and bandmate Alex recommended Joel Plaskett for me, and I gave his triple album 3 a try, mm-hmm. and just felt really kind of intertwined with how I was feeling emotionally at that time. A lot of the themes, because I was coming out of university, and I think this album is from the perspective of a young adult feeling mm-hmm. the same sort of thing. So maybe for any of those freshly graduated UBC students.
Don't look at me, I'm still here.
But anyone around campus, if you're weary, if you are looking for searching for your soul, this has been dedicated and made exactly for you. And it's a great summer listening too. This has just been mm-hmm. windows down, going around Spanish Banks, Kits, a lot of drives to these songs. Gone, Gone, Gone was the first one. I just love how many layers there are to that song. Very complex structurally.
No, I've been doing my best lately to like have good like summer listening songs on, so that when we're back in the fall, I can play really moody, sad stuff, and have it be like I can blame the seasons for it.
Yeah, we can loathe in the fall.
Yeah, not seasonal affective disorder. Anyways, not to put you on blast here, Dalton.
Oh, blast away, man. Blast away.
Usually, so yeah, the kind of format of the show is, you know, I ask local artists to give me two of their songs and then two songs from, you know, more obscure artists, someone that they love, they feel not many people know. Mm-hmm. And you struggled for a while for that. I found for the most part that I feel like everyone kind of has one, especially in the like era of streaming, you know, it's so easy to discover these really small artists. Like half of my library is like people with under 100,000, let alone like under 1,000 listeners, a lot of them. And I love it. You know, it's very fun to listen to more obscure people. You get to feel like a totally pretentious freak, and it's great. But I want to just say, like, why is it the case for you that's not as much? Like, how do you think that your music taste has been kind of shaped to lean a little bit more mainstream?
That's a great question. First of all, I'm happy you pushed me to stick to the smaller artists. Mm-hmm. And ironically, it was right in front of me. I mean, I was listening to Joel Plaskett for, like, the past 2 months. And, but I think,
courtesy of Alex.
Yeah, well, thanks, Alex. Yeah, there you go. What a blast of a question, Ewan.
Yeah.
I think that I have historically, if I'm looking at the pattern, started from a more mainstream area. But then I dig my way, if I like it, I will find myself organically digging my way into a point that does become a little rare or underground.
Yeah, because you mentioned like the artists you listen to might not necessarily be obscure, but you listen to a lot of their more obscure stuff.
Correct. Yeah, like Tom Waits for sure. I think there are definitely some of the albums maybe in the 80s that people would recognize mm-hmm. if I talked about or showed it. But I don't know. I just really get into the artists. Like Nine Inch Nails is probably the one that would have the biggest name, so that does the most mainstream connection. But the stuff that I've gotten into, I've never heard of mm-hmm. before, and I don't think they play it live. And just really picking up on the heart and the through line of an artist, like when you get into an author, and it's not always necessarily about the actual story mm-hmm. or, maybe this applies more to literature, but the actual story or message, it's more about the perspective.
Yeah.
So when I get hooked on a perspective, I really kind of get into that.
I mean, we get that a lot with, like, you know, any kind of author of any art, right? And you and I are both at least partially big fans of David Lynch's work as a filmmaker.
Yeah, big time.
And that is a big thing where it's, like, if you've watched all of his movies, it's very satisfying to, like, go through an artist's whole catalog, especially when you have someone like Lynch whose at least feature films aren't the lengthiest list, so it's easy to get through. But you really do get a good sense of, like, you know, what are the through lines, like you said? Like, what interest this person, what are their fascinations, and how do these kind of themes and in film images and music sounds and like motifs, how do those keep coming back up? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think digging into an artist like that in music is also very gratifying. We were talking about on the break, one of the artists I played, Jeff Rosenstock, is one of, if not my favorite artists of all time. And their like discography and their whole kind of music history is really varied in like every album is kind of its own strong vision and sound, but it all kind of plays into the same sensibilities if you listen close enough. And yeah, I think you can get that with any artist, you know, not just not just the kind of more obscure artists we like to highlight here on the show. I think you do get a lot of that from listening to some of these, you know, greats, some of these classics, you know, like Tom Waits, like Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, and these artists have been around a while, so they've been more, have more opportunity to flesh out what they want to say, what they want to do with their career. You see the changes, you kind of, you see the different eras. I find that very interesting. Always like looking back on the history of the Tragically Hip, for instance, and just knowing some cool stories about their path. And then how the approach for that album and how that differed from that, and what they learned from that. It's just,
I think having the kind of rockumentary style history behind any band really makes you appreciate them more.
Yeah, for sure.
I kind of want to ask, because we were talking, you know, about like how certain music kind of scores your life, and then from there, how it kind of, you know, influences the stuff you're making. With Joel Plaskett, do you feel that now that you've started listening to him, is there anything from that that's kind of influencing what you're working on now?
I mean, sonically, I feel like everything we're writing, Alex and I and the band will sit down to write what comes out is a bit more of an acoustic, lighter, softer vibe.
I mean, Honey, I know you've been working on for a while, but I feel like the way it kind of came out felt a little bit lighter than some of the other songs.
Yeah, absolutely. That started from a real tender place, and then you kind of get the build and then the crescendo at the end. But yeah, I think that what you'd see on our first album that we've been conceptualizing right now is a bit more of a softer, tender kind of area that I think that we're all at emotionally right now. And I think, I don't know what influences what. I think maybe when something like Joel Plaskett comes across our table, that's, it just speaks to us at the time, and then that's what we'll continue with. Just the universe put us onto the Plaskett right now. So yeah, I think you'll hear that influence in our music a little bit.
Awesome.
What was the original question?
Yeah, pretty much that. Just like, you know, how is he influencing what you're working on right now? And you answered it very well.
I've been you've uncoiled my mind. I'm just rambling about all these things I didn't even know were in there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm very good at my job.
You are very good at your job. Seriously, this is.
No, it's supposed to be an ego boost for you, not me. Come on, let's let's get back on focus.
Yeah. More about me. I'm missing this.
Well, friends, Amateur Hour has once again been a misnomer. We are well over the hour at this point, and I still have one song left to play for you all. So we're going to wrap up here. Before we do, Dalton, thank you so much for coming on the air
and
sharing all of your deep, dark secrets about music and jumping in bogs.
I'll tell you more off air too.
Great, thank you. Is there anything you want to plug quickly before we leave one last time?
I mean, we're doing Portside Pub, headlining that on Friday, July 18th. And we got a couple more Roxy's coming out. We got, a festival thing in Squamish, too. Search us up. Nine Narrows. Our Instagram is kind of our main hub right now. And you can find us Spotify, Apple Music. We do have what you heard today was Honey, and that is still yet to be released. So keep your ears peeled. Yeah, really excited about that one. Ewan has been an absolute pleasure.
I've heard if you go to the Moose on Granville and just yell Dalton's name loud enough, you might be able to find him.
My secrets.
Yeah, you
man.
Might be able to summon. He might not even be there, but I believe he will materialize.
I'm sure I'll be in the back booth, loathing and listening to Nine Inch Nails on the loudspeakers there. Yeah. I will skip you in the queue if you try and use the jukebox there. Someone tried to put on Fireflies, and I spent, I think, like $20 just trying to get that song out of there. My apologies. My pretentiousness will come out at the Moose.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining us. You are going to hear a song by the incredible Rilo Kiley, Love and War, 11-11-46, coming up next, followed by the wonderful CITR Ghost Mix. And then I believe, if the schedule is still the same, and I'm never sure, Unseated Airwaves should be on at 5. Thank you all for joining us on Amateur Hour this week. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another fantastic band, and I'll see you then. For now, please enjoy Rilo Kiley.
you win.